We have some reporters here in person, so I'm going to start the questions with them. Then we'll move on to people on the phone. In both cases, I'd ask you to just state your name and your news outlet, and then whichever panelist you would like to direct your question to. If you have a general question about global exports, we can certainly handle it among the panel, but if you're directing a question at anyone in particular, just let us know who that is. So with that, I'll open it to questions from reporters that we have here in the room. Anybody want to go first?
Well, Larry Stalk up here for CAF News. Phil, the Russia situation, do you have any timetable you can get more specific with, or still pretty much up in the air there?
Well, I would say that the question, of course, is about the Russian situation and what do we see as far as maybe next steps and in timetable. I would say that the U.S. Has constructively engaged the Russians, and John, you enter in too if I misspeak. But there was a call just last week with FSIS and the Russian chief veterinary officer. It looks like the Russians are going to be coming to the United States to look at some poultry plants, if I'm not mistaken, in December. And it was indicated on this call that they would be willing to take a look at some plants in the beef and the pork complex, I think, in February. So the United States has put forward a PVP program, and this is a private voluntary program that where companies in the United States can opt to either produce or not produce animals with ractopamine in this case. And it's an assurance program that the Russians seemingly have, I would say, agreed to yet. There's been many questions, there have been many discussions on this, but it does look like we are making very glacial progress with the Russians. So hopefully by next February there would be, in our hope, some progress in that regard with Russia, because it's a very important market to us, both from the beef standpoint and the pork standpoint. The closure of the Russian market on February 11th of this year has really thrown a wrench into our export performance as far as a beef and pork, so it's a very important market for us. John, do you have anything else?
Good. Thank you, Joe. Okay. Ron Hayes has a question.
Ron Hayes, Radio Oklahoma Network. Phil, and Joel maybe as well, on China, how do we get over that last barrier and actually start officially exporting beef to the Chinese?
Well, we obviously would need a protocol, so the two governments have to get together and hammer one out. As Phil says, we're closing in on the 10th year. I can't give you a timeline. I don't know of any timeline. I always look for encouraging signs. When the U.S. and China discuss agriculture trade issues, they're usually tangled, intertwined with each other. So there's been an issue for the Chinese, and that's been the cooked poultry access to the United States from China. That looks like it's moving toward a resolution. So if you're looking for positive signs, that would be one.
I think also we had a China leadership team in China just a month and a half ago. And at that point in time, we met with the president of ACSIC, which is their animal quarantine inspection service. And he even said to our delegation that it's time for us to import U.S. beef. We look forward to engaging the United States. And I think we're seeing, because as Joel referenced earlier, with an 800% increase in beef imports, and the fact that China is really having a difficult time trying to increase their beef herd with this growing consumption, it is time to open up that market. So we see that maybe now the opportunity to engage China, and actually if we could engage China single-handedly just on the beef issue. It seems like we wait until we have these SED talks and these talks with China on a myriad of issues that we have in the relationship, and maybe the beef issue is only discussed very briefly and in passing because there's so many other monumental issues in the relationship. I think if we could actually sit down with the Chinese single-handedly on and discuss beef That would probably be a very important step as far as moving this whole progress forward, this whole process forward.
Joel, Colleen Schreiber with Livestock Weekly. Along the same lines about China, you said Australia is the primary exporter right now. So if we get this market open, are we going to be going head-to-head in terms of the same kinds of products? How will we compete against China? I'm against Australia.
I think there's room for everyone in this market. It's very large in terms of, it's complex actually, in terms of the range of products they consume, ranging from, you know, variety meats to the highest end Wagyu products. So I think there's room for everybody. Most of the beef exported by Australia to China has been grass-fed, mainly lean beef. We would be exporting more what we would call the Asian cuts, such as the chuck short rib and the short rib. And I failed to mention that those items from the United States this year have completely gone through the roof because of the demand from Japan. So if there's any evidence of this U.S. shortage of beef, the rib complex has really been stressed by our shortage, and the demand is strong. But we would be exporting those type of items to China.
Anyone else here in the room have a question? Okay, I'll turn it over now to open it up to questions from the phone. Again, if you could state your name and your news outlet and which panelist you'd like to direct your question to. Anyone have an opening question?
I got one for you. It's Ken Morgan with Interstate Farm Network.
Hi, Ken.
And it's for Phil or somebody who's involved with the trade with Canada, WTO. The agriculture minister there has stated that they've got a list of products that are talking about possible retaliatory tariffs, and that includes beef and pork. How big a percentage of exports is that overall for the United States?
Well, actually, Jerry Ritz made those comments yesterday and when he was in Chicago, and I think we should really heed what he had to say, because when we take a look at what's going on with a relationship, it's not only Canada but Mexico, about 45% of our total export portfolio, both for beef and pork, is going either to Canada or to Mexico. So, you know, our hope right now is not only that, as Chad referenced, that there'll be another WTO look at this, but in the farm bill, we do have an opportunity to rectify this situation, and I would hope that our legislators would look at this. We have indications that they are, and hopefully we could avert something like this, because this would be catastrophic to the export progress that we made if the worst should come to fruition when it comes to this cool issue.
Thank you, Ken. Next question from the phone. Okay, if there are no further questions, we'll go ahead and close the call. I want to thank you again for joining us. If you have any follow-up, if you need any details or any statistics from the information we talked about, feel free to contact me. I believe you all have my email, and I'm glad to follow up. Thank you.